recorded live.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised. One New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show determined to piss the world off. By shoving a mirror within society's face, he kicks them in the balls. I present to you Louis B. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Yo, welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We are on an active war against bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the means. So if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in and prepare to be shocked. This is Smash Mouth Talk. If you can't accept it, then fuck off. I'm your host, Louis B. I don't hold my censor myself or hold my tongue. I attack the issues that I don't agree with, and I drag them into the light. Today is July 19, 2010, and we had some freaking... I'm calling you through Skype because apparently none of my SIPs are working. I tried X-Lite and I tried Gizmo, so the quality sucks. I am sorry, but hey, still busted my ass to try to give you a show. So today we got Scott Goldberg today. He is a 9/11 truther movie director. He made the film Mr. Mullen. In fact, let me call him right now. Hopefully this will work. But yeah. So, oops. Okay. Well, we're waiting for.
Hello?
Hey, Scott.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing?
Hey, good man. I'm here with my composer, Mark. If you have any questions, he did the music for all the films. Anyway, how are you, my friend?
I'm okay, man. Let's do this interview, brother. You're on live right now. So,
okay.
Let's start with the gay questions real quick.
All right.
Where are you from?
Long Island, New York.
Long Island. So what part of Long Island though?
Napa County, Glen Cove.
Oh, aye. So when did what made you want to get into making movies?
I mean, at first it was, you know, I mean, I guess it's different at first to where it is now. It's just I was very inspired watching documentaries on various DVDs and thinking that Hollywood was the way to go, and then as you progress over the years, you kind of learn that it's much different. It's not like that. It's about creating something for yourself and doing it independently.
Right.
Hopefully adding something that can create a change of some sort or have a message that you feel passionate about.
Right. Where did you get your education?
Five Towns College in Dixville, New York. Film, video, Bachelor of Fine Arts.
I hear you. Okay. So how does the current political climate inspire your movies? Because I see a lot of your movies are really politically motivated.
Just things that basically anger myself and others, you know, the people who work on the films. I mean, we had done a couple films that were more subtle, and the latest film, Mr. Mullen, was more of a politically charged cinematic piece, I guess you could say. It's, you know, based about the corruption of New World Order and basically, things that are going on now that I think a lot of people can relate to.
Mm-hmm. All right. What goes into your writing about, what process do you go through to write these stories? I know what's your influence, but you try to rip from the headlines, sort of deal you got
right.
Going. But I mean, how do you develop the characters? How do you develop the storyline? What's your process?
Well, the process is usually coming up with an idea, and it really depends on, I guess, which idea you want to start from. With Mr. Mullen, we kind of started with one scene and it branched out to something that, became a year or so to make, and that's how it kind of branched out, and that's what Mr. Mullen had become. For other, films, you can have a script and start from there and, go linearly, from each scene to the next, and sometimes the shooting is different, because you have different days and you have to shoot various scenes and sequences, so sometimes it's out of order. So it usually just comes with the idea, something that I guess you're very passionate about, and then you go from there.
All right. So, were you the one who wrote the scripts for Mr. Mullen, or who was the writer?
Yeah, it started from one scene and it just basically branched out from there, and we kind of came up with the story as it went, you know. And you know, it wasn't really written, but as the story progressed, then you know, the inspiration came to write more dialogue for that, for the film. So.
Okay. So I mean, what gave you the idea? How did the idea for Mr. Mullen first come about?
My friend Chris Margaritas and I were shooting two PSAs, one back in November 2008. One was a PSA, a public service announcement to talk about, you know, rape and, you know, girls being careful about going in the woods, getting, you know, possibility of getting killed. You see it all over the news. You know, you see it in the nightly news, you see it all the time where women are, you know, tackled and murdered. So that was one of them. And the other one, which never got finished, was because we were working on Mullen at the time after that, was an Obama PSA questioning, you know, who is this guy? And my friend Chris was on camera saying, who is this guy? You know, how do we know that he's right for the country? Things like that. And, you know, just questioning, because a lot of people, I think, jumped on Obama Nation and kind of, you know, thought that he would be some sort of savior when, of course, you know, he's not, as we see that the economy has really gone real bad. So, but yeah, it starts from a scene, and you just do continue to shoot scenes, and it comes out to be something, I guess, that you know, it grows from there, basically.
Yeah, Lenny, do you have any questions? I see you're on.
No, I'm just listening.
What happened?
I'm just listening.
Okay.
Well, what does he use for editing? What did you make
Final
this movie on?
Final Cut Pro, we use a DVX-100 camera with 35mm adapter lenses.
So a Macintosh?
Yeah, Macintosh. A Mac G4. So.
So you didn't use like a flip cam?
Oh, no, no. No, that kind of stuff is, you know, I mean, I think it progresses, you know, like when, as you get more serious and serious about making films, you go from one thing to another. Like if you're younger, for example, 17, when I was 17, you had more, you know, cameras that didn't have certain cinematic qualities that cameras do today. So, you know, you continue to go up the ladder and try to get the best equipment available. As you get older and have more money to purchase those type of equipment.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, all right. So got that going. Goodness, what other questions do I got? So are you for or against Obama?
Well, I'm for anyone who believes in the Constitution, believes in freedom, and things of that sort. Because I mean, look, I don't know. It just seems that. As we talk about in the film, these politicians say one thing, they mean another. It's all, you know, bullshit. I just don't see why any president would be for the people, you know, because they have their own agenda. The government has their own agenda. The elitists have their own agenda of where they want to push this country. So I don't really believe that any president really has a say. I believe they're more, well, I guess, more so puppets than anything. You know, and then that's just, you know, that's what we express in our films, you know, to kind of give another opinion on what goes against the mainstream idea. So.
I see. So I mean, so you just focus. So are you guys like Tea Party filmmakers?
No, not Tea Party filmmakers. Just people who believe in freedom and want to express through. Our organization, the American Citizens Movement, which, you know, we're just looking to push for new ideas, you know. And if you want to check that out, it's AmericanCitizensMovement.org, which my composer and co-producer, Mark Nadalski, also works on. So we're just looking to build a revolution from independent media and cinema. You know, that's basically the most important thing that we feel can be done now, because you see Hollywood is repetitive. It's something that is unique, that's different, that makes people think, that they can maybe be entertained by, but also have a soul and a message. Because a lot of Hollywood films don't have that, because they need to make their money and they need to get people in seats. I believe it's possible that you can have that you have both. You can be creative. Like this movie Inception that just came out, an amazing film. It was hands down one of the best films this year, I think. You know, it was just there's something about that film. I mean, it was shot in a $150 million budget, but it was smart. You know, it wasn't the typical 13 going on 30 or American Pie or one of those movies, you know, that just follows a formula that is so boring and mundane, you know. So that's why I think, you know, those type of things interest me, the films that have a message, that have something that can be smart. Those are the things that...
Okay. All right. So basically, you're just trying to strive to be different films to have more. Hello? Oh, goodness. I'm having a tech day today.
Tell us something about the film.
You can check the film out at mullenfilm.com, and we're just trying to get more people aware of the art that we create, you know, the craft of the economy, who basically loses his home and his life due to many different things, corruption from government, from senators, from mayors, and basically, you know, he can't take it anymore. And so it's kind of like a collage. It's kind of like a poetic collage, in a sense, I guess you could say, of things that have to go through in order to get revenge. You know, just like any nice...
It's mrmullen.com.org. What is it? Hello? I think Louie's call just went down. Until Louis B. makes it back, it says, Mr. Mullen is a film about the crash of the economy and the corruption that comes from comes from behind the scenes with big business corporations and the Federal Reserve. Chris Mitchell, A man who has worked hard his whole life loses his life savings and his job due to government corruption. He targets Senator Edward D. Mullen, a man who is responsible for Chris's lost life savings. Not able to take it anymore, Chris seeks revenge on Edward and his family. The film features Friday the 13th Part 3 veteran actor Paul Kratka, Robert Youngren, Chris Margaritis, Jennifer Beltusis, Cynthia Luck, Kelly Carvitz, Danielle Anzalone, and Liz Walsh. The film is scheduled to be released online in January 2010, and you'll be able to watch it directly here at ScottGoldbergMovies.com, directly here on that page, under as well as under Films section. Mr. Mullen, a Scott Goldberg film. Well, I guess the other website was MrMullenFilm.com. That wasn't clear from before. That's why I couldn't find it right away. I looked for it using his name. I see.
What's up?
Hey, okay, finally we're back. Apparently there's something about you guys that they're blocking me for some reason.
All right.
I read the description while you guys were gone.
Yeah.
From the Scott Goldberg Films website, and I told everybody where to get the film.
Oh, okay, very good.
cool, man.
Very good. Yeah, no, I'm having some real bag tech problems, Lenny. I think you're gonna have to crack into my computer too.
Hey, I end up helping everybody. Apparently, the film Mr. Mullen centers around a guy who targets a senator named Edward Mullen, who he feels is most responsible.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Well, it was definitely coming from the time, because I remember when the economy was collapsing, a lot of people, maybe like back in 2008, a lot of people were, basically killing themselves and really going crazy because, they didn't know how they can, keep up their homes and they were having a lot of economical issues. So I think that's kind of what drew inspiration for that type of thing, for that subject matter.
And I think that Mr. Mullen is a character that represents kind of all of the bad things about politicians. He's not just a liar or a thief. He's a liar and a thief. And, you can look at politicians and they're kind of getting worse and worse today. Even in my district running for Congress, you have, two people who are like outwardly proven to be lying. And so kind of Mr. Mullen represents every bad politician out there, Senator Edward D. Mullen.
Mm. It looks like half the cast is Greek.
Well, we just wanted to make a film that was basically something that people can enjoy and that people could be entertained about and also learn something and say, hey, maybe we feel this way as well, because I think there's a lot of people who do feel jaded about this and are looking for an outlet to express themselves, but maybe they don't have the equipment or the time to do something like this. So we're basically trying to speak for a lot of people, who basically feel this way, and I think that's what a lot of independent media should be, is expressing how you feel and how passionate you are about something.
All right. So, Mark, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah. So, my question is for you. What was your inspiration for the music, for the soundtrack? I mean, how do you set the tone for each scene?
Oh, okay. When we finally got the final cut of Mullen, I would go through each individual scene, and Scott is big in the storytelling and kind of telling stories within a scene and not too much overlap. So each scene would basically have its specific score. And so I'd go through basically each scene and decide how I'd want that scene to play out, and then it would kind of cut off at the video edit, and then it would go into the next part. So it was basically composed on a scene-by-scene basis. With a short film, usually you might score, it being that it's only 10-minute song, you might score just the whole thing straight up. But I actually worked on scene-by-scene, Scott and I, where we did updates and, going through our trial-and-error process, it was a lot of, we break down a scene and just work on that, maybe even like a 10-second clip, and, we'd have maybe 30, 40 revisions on that clip, just of that scene. And it's kind of an interesting way to work, and it works well with what Scott does as an editor and a filmmaker.
Yeah, I think it's working with someone as easy as Mark is good because he understands music, and I always like to learn new things from him as far as like the things he knows. Like if I have questions about a song, we went to Montauk today, and we're listening to music, and I ask him what's this and. He kind of, tells me, what measures and what maybe how they did a certain sound. And I always like learning those types of things. So I think it makes me stronger as a filmmaker to understand those things. And it's always good to communicate like that because then next time if I want something similar to that sound or for something to do, for Mark to do on his own, to create something that's similar to that sound or maybe kind of branch something off and make it different or make it unique, he's able to do something like that because of that communication.
And it's so much easier that way, just picking up on what you were saying with, you have a director who can specifically describe a sound or something that he's heard in the past rather than, make this score sound more yellow. And you're like, what the hell does yellow mean?
All right.
So it's good working in that way. And, I appreciate that, and, using, specific examples to outline the kind of tones or sounds that you want because in music in this style, the first thing that you're going to do is establish your tone, your timbre, which is the sound quality, and then you fill in the pitches from there. So that's basically what the inspiration for each scene was starting with the timbre, getting that right, and then maybe you're making minor adjustments here and there.
Okay. So, I mean, So, where did you get your training?
My training?
Yeah.
Oh, I was fortunate enough to learn from a really great guy that I met in high school. His name is Frank Catalano. He's a saxophone player in Chicago, and he's just amazing. He's on Columbia Records, and he's just played with all the great. He's on Oprah. I mean, he's played with Destiny's Child. And, you know, he's been kind of a mentor to me in terms of development as a musician. And I did go to college for music, and I just graduated this year, actually. But, you know, a lot of my training has been kind of in the studio. You know, my dad was a musician. He played in a rock band. He had a home studio in the basement, and I've been doing that since I was maybe, 12, 13 or something. And, you just kind of teach yourself, and you work hard, and, you listen to something that works, and you find out what can I take from that. You know, you look at it as, how did they solve problems that I need to solve now?
Okay. All right.
And,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I think music is so important for a film because when you have, nowadays when you hear like let's say a film that is a horror film, or let me give you some examples like from the '90s, Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, films like that. They're following a certain formula of what's hit, what's now. Even in the remakes today, like Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, they have the same constant boom, boom. It's very similar. And so I think Mark agrees with me, the sounds, I guess, for us that really we grew up with are sounds of the 80s, like with films like A Day of the Dead or The Shining, where it's kind of got, like synthesizers, for example. I mean, I love that because of the feeling. In the movie Day of the Dead, you have these very somber, sad, depressing, nostalgic synths that really, really, I think, help. So whenever I work with Mark on a film, I say, hey, I like the sound, and, maybe even come up with some, use that same synth but kind of make it your own, or something that sounds like that or that has that feeling of it. And I think, that's why it's so easy to work with Mark because he's very understanding of music. And that really helps out as well.
And what's funny is that we both feel such a connection to the sounds of the 80s. I was born in 1987, but I feel such a connection to those sounds and the films of those time period. And that's where a lot of the inspiration for Mullen has come is from the scores to films like that, Day of the Dead, The Hitcher, those kind of 80s horror films.
I see. I mean, it's there are times where, I guess you're trying, you did make a horror film. Which is very politically motivated. I want to ask this question, but I don't want to give up too much.
No, that's fine. People are going to see the film, and, I'm sure some people have seen it, some haven't, whatever. Yeah. Because we'll put this on the website as well. So problem.
Okay, so what was the significance of the main character going after Mr. Mullen's daughters?
When we had shot the first scene for that PSA that we were talking about earlier,
right.
Great PSA, that was a scene that we had started with, and it started with one of the actresses who actually was in the union. She was in Screen Actors Guild, so we didn't have a chance to shoot with her. So we had to kind of think of something up where we can maybe add another character. So I figured, let's add my girlfriend, Jen.
Oh.
So she got added to the film, and she got into the mix, and that's how it came to be. So we had to find something that would basically go hand in hand with the story of, so he's targeting the whole family, I guess, now, rather than just one person, because I think for Chris's character, he felt the need to target his whole family because he wanted to take away from him what was taken away from him, which was his home, his life savings, and his job. Because, he was a single guy. He didn't have a family. So he had to figure out what was it that he could take from Edward Mullen that would make him, be upset, which, was death, I guess.
And if you really want to think into it as well, the characters represent ideas. You know, I was talking about Mr. Mullen representing all the evil and corrupt things that are politicians today, and all of Mullen's daughters represent all of the, you know, issues pertaining to the blindness of the youth and kind of, you know, drugs and, you know, Jersey Shore and MTV and reality shows and all those things that are blinding the youth from, you know, realizing the issues and, you know, reacting to them and doing something about them, because that's where, you know, that's where the change is going to come from, is most people awakening. So it's kind of going after Mullen's daughters is also kind of going after the ideas that they represent, because they're shown in the film, you know, smoking pot and, you know, just kind of just being dumb teenagers or whatever and privileged, you know, living off their father's privilege and all that.
Because there's definitely an issue today with society, and I think we express that in Mullen, is that, you know, people have lost their way of what really matters. You look at hot rides and bling and all these things that I think people see as important, when I think when reality it's love. It's the love we have for each other. It's the passion that we have to create good art, cinema. It's sharing memories with people. It's really pushing towards making our community better. So I think, you know, things like that really inspire me, and I'm sure it inspires Mark, because, you know, we come from families who are very supportive of what we do, but also they always try to push an honest and open relationship with us, you know. I mean, basically, you know, it's all about making good art and trying to change the world through cinema, because a revolution can be done, and it's happening. It's happening through what organizations are doing, and, you know, some organizations, of course, are doing it for different reasons, like fame and things like that, but, you know, you try to stay true to what is in your heart, and you try to make a film or your art or music the best that you can, and to share it with someone, because that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I like how you capture how society just celebrates ignorance, how they just focus on the stuff that doesn't really matter. It kind of reminds me of how Aaron Magruder does it on The Boondocks, how he just shows how society just focuses on the unimportant things. I mean, what do you say to the fact that how society has just basically given up the important things? In fact, ridicule people who try to do more for themselves, like grow their own garden, try to get themselves healthy. People that try to heal themselves, you know, naturally and you know, try to get off the grid, they're viewed as kooks. And especially when I tell people I don't own a TV, they look at you like you're from another planet. I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, as Ron Paul says, of course, we've lost our way. You know, we've really lost a way of understanding of what true reality is. If you're looking for reality through a television, you're not going to get it. That's just fabricated bullshit that is put there to make people believe that that's how it is. And then you have young kids seeing this, and you have people believing that this is how it is, you know. And the news dictating, you know, certain things that they want you to hear, that they push. It is definitely an agenda, and that's within government. It could also be within how things are marketed to young people. It's always about marketing. It always comes down to that, in a sense, because you have all these commercials telling you what they feel is cool, because or what's the latest trend, and that's only because they want to make money. That's fine, you know, businesses make money. But, you know, it gets to the point where it's like, is this really helping society or is it not helping society? And I think that's the issue.
And as long as the advertisers are making money, they really don't care. And that's why you see a lot of commercials geared that are so ignorant that you really can't believe what you're seeing. And it's because, you know, it sells, and it's been selling irresponsibility and laziness have been selling, you know, since, you know, for a long time now, for at least a couple of generations. And you just get people who, you know, they don't care to do those things, like find other activities to do than watch TV, or, you know, you can go out and make a garden, but, you know, that's boring, or, no, that's, you know, people will make fun of me, or, you know, it's too hard.
Yeah.
They'd rather just say, turn it on the TV, it's easy. I mean,
do you notice that how people are, and this happens in the truth movement, people are just afraid of going against society. I mean, for example, I mean, you know, like how some people are afraid to speak out against Alex Jones because they're afraid of how the movement will come after them.
Right.
I mean, what do you say to the fact that people have a fear of society?
I mean, there's definitely a fear. I think fear drives paranoia, and fear is a, you know, it's a part of our lives, whether it be news media or just how we are as human beings. As for Alex Jones, you know, hey, people are free to listen to anything, you know, they want. I just think, don't believe everything that someone says, and I think people might look up to someone like that as a god, and, you know, and when in reality it's just someone trying to sell DVDs and sell shirts and make money and sit around and be a radio host and just doing that and not contributing in any other way. I mean, I think someone like Alex Jones, I guess I'm going on the record here basically, but I see someone as Alex Jones as, I just don't see everything. Everything just doesn't seem right with him. There seems like there's something that he's not telling people, and that's just, I'm just being honest. You know, that's how I see it.
There's also kind of an interesting point, or a little counterpoint to that, in that people become more afraid to speak out against society when society is becoming increasingly networked. You know, I'm kind of against all that Facebook, Twitter, and texting kind of thing. And, you know, when you can say something and it can be all over everybody's status or Twitter or whatever it might be. And so people maybe have a fear of saying something against the society when, you know, society will know in a second what you said. And
right.
You know, people kind of watch what they say because, and it's only going to get worse, at least for the time being.
Right. I mean, but the thing is, those platforms can be used for good as well. I mean,
definitely.
I mean, I know I use those platforms to disseminate all the news articles that I post and other information that I post to get it out there as quickly as possible. I mean, this is,
right.
You know, it's, but I mean, I'm just, what do people really have to fear? I mean, it's like, okay, I mean, it's highly unlikely that that anyone's going to get killed over this for speaking out. I mean,
right.
it's very rare. I mean, in fact, the moment that you do speak out, the safer you become.
Right.
So,
Mark wanted to reply to that, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess maybe the fear for speaking out. I mean, say, like, if I had a, you know, if I had a job at Aon Corporation or something, and I had, you know, maybe my boss was listening in the show, and he heard me say all these political things, you know, maybe if I had the right kind of boss and he didn't agree with me, he might fire me. And that's, you know, that's kind of, you know, an attitude that you see a lot in college too as well, and with, you know, college campuses and professors and all that. And maybe, you know, it could be that they learn it there. They learn their fear of speaking out in college, or they learn it at a very young age when they're kind of made fun of, you know, for doing that kind of thing. Or, you know, I'm not...
Well, fear basically drives everything, whether it's fear of losing someone, or maybe it's fear of propaganda or war, whatever the case may be. So I think, you know, as a society, I think we fear a lot of things, so maybe things aren't as bad as they are. And but in some cases, of course, they are, but maybe things aren't as black and white. You know, I'm starting to learn that. So, and I think, you know, everyone has a path that they go through in life, and they learn different things. And I think that's, you know, what basically what I've learned recently, I guess.
And above all, they fear responsibility for what they say.
Right.
Nobody wants to be responsible for saying this or that. They, you know, always, you know, you see when, oh, I misspoke, or, you know, it's just ridiculous.
Right. My question is, are you afraid that the movie that you made might be misconstrued as fear-mongering?
Well, I mean, I read somewhere that George Romero's film David Dead was looked at as a political film or propaganda film, I guess they could say. We just try to put an alternative view of what's not in the mainstream and what's not being said mm-hmm. to the mainstream, and trying to go from a realistic point of view what can really happen to someone who basically loses their mind because of corruption. So, I mean, that's basically what the film is about, honestly.
Yeah. And I'm just plain devil's advocate.
Right.
Are you afraid that anyone will start saying, well, you're advocating people go out and kill senators and start killing politicians?
Well, I'll go on the record right now and say I do not advocate that in any way.
Yeah, no, me neither. But see, and also you hear this a lot, like with when a lot of metal singers were asked this, or rappers in the 90s, when they're asked, like, you know, do you believe that your music contributes to these kids committing suicide? Who listen to your lyrics? You know, I think it's just a form of entertainment, and I think it's just a form of what we're trying to put out to people. No, I don't advocate violence, but I do think at some point, violence, unfortunately, is going to be the way that people feel that they are going to take their country back. And
right.
I think that's what it's always been about. That's how we are as a human species, and we're just violent people. You know, I think, like, do I think that's needed now? No. But people are really getting pissed off at a lot of things that's from what's going on within the government or what's going on in society or media. And so I think people are understanding that, though, and they're going, they're basically... Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, Mark, if you want to go with that.
Oh, yeah, well, you talked about kind of the suicide advocate, heavy metal bands. Like, anybody who says, oh, you know, somebody did so-and-so because they saw this movie, you know, that's usually the parent who was too irresponsible to stop the kid or to take any kind of responsibility for the kid's actions.
Right.
So those kind of people don't really bother me, you know, because they have their own problems and their own issues. And if you want to say that about our work, you know, fine, just look at yourself. Look at yourself first, you know. You know, because as you know, and especially when talking about politicians, because if you're a registered voter, you're over the age of 18, you know, we're all responsible for the people we put in there. And, you know, we're all, you know, oh, you know, people say, oh, I hate so-and-so, or I hate Congress. Well, you know, then do something about it. You know, it's one thing to say and to realize that, you know, your district or your state keeps putting those people there, and you got to take responsibility for it. And if they think that we're kind of advocating, you know, violence against that, you know, we're not. I mean, but, you know, take a look at the system. I mean, don't just bash us, you know, take a look at what we're trying to say.
Yeah, it's very important to understand who the enemy is. You know, I think far and wide it has to be people who just don't care about the common man, you know, and that's unfortunate. But I also see this world as a world that, you know, people have become selfish, where they say, it's me, I have to jump and do this, jump forward and make this happen for myself, whereas maybe, you know, people should be a little bit more understanding of society, you know, and that there are people out there who do need help, who are in poverty. And so, you know, you basically have to make yards about that, I think, especially if you're independently making a film.
Right.
Or whatever the case may be, you know.
I see. I know you probably already you already answered this question, but I just want to ask this question again. What do you want people to take away? What action do you want them to take after they've watched your movie?
I think we just want people to be inspired, especially other filmmakers, to create more art that is thoughtful, thought provoking. Interesting, and it just doesn't copy the same old generic storyline that's been overdone many, many times. And as for the viewer, I just hope, you know, we just hope that people enjoy it, and maybe they learn something about it, or they are inspired to maybe do something, be proactive about things. And that's not saying, and when I say proactive, I'm not saying, you know, go out and kill someone. I'm, you know, saying do something productive, something for your community, something for the society, or do something for you that can create a better life around yourself, that would be able to, you know, where you'd be able to just become someone who's happier than you were before. I mean, of course, you're looking at a film that has an ending where the character goes and kills a politician. Now, like we said before, we don't condone violence. I don't think we ever would. But, you know, basically you have a film that I think has a lot of heart and a lot of passion, and hopefully people see that and they enjoy it. You know, it's there for entertainment value. So.
All right, very good. I'd like to thank you guys for coming on. You're always welcome to come on. If you guys want to see Mr. Mullen, I have it as a sticky on crotchshotradio.com. You guys can just go there, watch it. It's going to be there for the rest of the month. It's going to be sticky there, so just feel free to watch it and tell your friends to watch it. It is a good movie. It does make you think. And it does kind of get you angry at the politicians, and you just want to do something. Again, don't do nothing don't do nothing illegal or violent, because then you're the terrorist, according to them.
Right. Well, I think there's definitely going to be some sort of revolution, and hopefully it could be something that's peaceful. But you never know. Who knows? Honestly, we don't condone violence, but. People are getting angry, man. You know, that's we see it all the time, and these people just continue to do things that are not benefiting the everyday person. So,
yeah, I mean, it is all gonna come to a head. I mean, you know, you don't just continue to let someone constantly punch you in the face and steal from you. I mean, there's gonna come a time you're gonna get angry and be like, okay, now it's time for you to die.
Well, that's just like Chris in the film Mr. Mullen. Yeah, that's what happened. So hopefully we get peace. But who knows? You know, we'll see what happens.
And the subject will be covered in our upcoming feature film as well. So.
Oh yeah, what future projects you got going? Thanks for reminding me, Mark.
upcoming one we were actually shooting right now is the Militia 15 and All That's Got. You know, explain that a little more detail. You know, I came out here from Chicago to New York, and we've been writing for our feature film, The Three, and it kind of deals with what you were talking about, where it all rises up to a breaking point, and it finally does break. But then we realize throughout the film that it was just too late. You know, we didn't realize it's too late, and it kind of gets into, you know, a very psychological study of three inhumans, and without giving too much away about the film, but. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just say it's like The Shining meets Day of the Dead, you know, with a lot of political overtones to it, so.
Yeah, well, The Militia 15 is a film that we're shooting now, and Mark has a role in it, of course, as well as co-producing and, you know, basically scoring the film. It's about a Long Island militia who are sick and tired of government control, and the character of Chris Romero, he is making a documentary in hopes to educate people, so... And Chris Romero is played by Chris Margaritis, who actually played the lead character in Mr. Mullen, Chris Mitchell. So so basically, you know, you have him and Mr. Mullen believing in violence, and in this one he believes more about peace and kind of talks against being violent. So it's a good change of character, I think, for someone like Chris as well. So.
Very good.
And that's really it. For me.
And the trailer is available to view on militia15film.com as well as Vimeo and other sites.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Cool. Thanks, guys. That was Mark and Scott. What's the name of the production company?
Well, he has Frameshift Studios, and this is ScottGoldbergMovies.com.
ScottGoldbergMovies.com. Again, you can watch the movie on CrowdShotRadio.com. It's sticky there. And don't kill nobody until they do stuff first.
we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
Anytime you guys want to come back, just let me know.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm gonna be ending the show a little short because again, due to some tech problems we've been having, it's just gotten like really crazy. So. Like to thank everyone for listening. Come back tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Hopefully, no more problems. This has been the Crotch Shot Radio Show saying, fuck the New World Order. And if you don't want to look into what we say, you don't want to... Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oops. All right. I'll help you guys. Hold on. There we go. If you guys don't want to look into what we say, then there's nothing I can do, so fuck you too.
Smoke it all night, it's in love with me, take it all night, I'm not the place to stop you, if I may be, still a little bit more, smiting at me, become a man for sure, and if I